some of those three. They're with people we know. Relationships that we struggle with aren't necessarily in that category. They're with people we know. Family members. Anybody have a hard time getting along with some family members? Yes. Most of those are brothers and sisters. Some of those are parents who at times we struggle to get along with as well. And then a lot of relationships we have trouble with are friends that we go to school with, or we play sports with, or we're in relationship with in some way. Some of you guys who have jobs already, you're probably already discovering that you're not going to get along well with everybody that's on your job. If you have a job, you probably already know that. If you don't know it, you will find out one day soon. As you go off to graduate from high school and you go off to college or you go off into a career, you know what's going to be true? You're going to have the same problem when you get there. And as great as college is, and as great as it is to have a career and be pursuing those things in your life, you will have trouble getting along with people. It's going to be challenging. That's what our message is tonight. What we need to discover, though, and this is what's big, and listen, guys, we've got a lot of discussion. I know we got all pins out now, everything's settled. One of the things that you have to realize about your relationships and the struggles that you have in those relationships is that most of the time, now not all the time, most of the time, relationship problems, if you're going to really get to the source of the problem, is where? It's in you. Now, oftentimes, when we have a problem in a relationship, who do we think is the problem? Yeah, and that dude or that girl, whatever it is the one who has all the problems. And I am perfect, and I am the one who has been hurt or wounded or whatever, right? But what's true about every argument you've ever had? There was problems on both sides of the argument, weren't there? I always heard the old saying, heard a preacher say it one time, and say that it's a mighty thin pancake that doesn't have two sides. Would you agree with that? It's a mighty thin pancake that doesn't have two sides. It's not possible. That's the point. Thank you, Isaac. It's very insightful, man. Yeah, okay. So, every struggle that you have in your life will be, to some extent, caused by you. There'll be something, because we're fallen people. We're just going to struggle. We're going to maybe not react the right way, not respond the right way, not handle it the right way, whatever it is. Even if it wasn't something we initiated, but it just is, there's always a certain amount of responsibility we carry in our relationships, that when we have a conflict situation, that we have responsibility in that, okay? So, tonight we're going to talk about how to navigate those kinds of relationships. Our title for our message tonight is how to get along with people. How to get along with people. It's about love. And we're going to define why we're saying love in this text out of Matthew chapter 7. So if you have your Bibles and you haven't opened them yet, open them up to Matthew chapter 7. Now, we're going to our next message in this series that we've been doing out of the Sermon on the Mount, that Jesus has been teaching his disciples about principles that you can live by in your life. And there's a broader concept here that Jesus is teaching the Sermon on the Mount because he wants people to recognize that we cannot live this life in a righteousness of our own. We have to have something more. There has to be something more to life than just our own strength. If we're going to get through life well and honor God with our lives, there's got to be something more. And ultimately, even in Jesus' point in this sermon, is that we are in desperate need of him even to have hope in this world, because we have no hope, because we have no righteousness apart from him. So he's already set the bar really high when he taught in the whole first part of the sermon, to the point where that we can't even keep the requirements that Jesus exposes in this sermon. We can't. It's impossible. So we're desperately in need, and that's where we should end up. By the time we finish Matthew chapter 7, we should be looking around going, I can't do this. Because we can't. It is impossible for a person in his own natural ability to live out the requirements that Jesus is listing in this text. We have to live a life that's in dependence upon Him, a spiritual life, in order to do the things that He's called us to here. And that's particularly true, I think, well, it's true of all of it, but it's very obviously true in the text we're going to look at tonight out of Matthew chapter 7. So let's pray as we get started tonight. Father, we're just grateful for this time in Your Word. I would ask, Lord, that You would bless our time, that You would lead us. As we study tonight, I ask, Father, that You would give clarity. Give me clear words so that I can make sense out of this text and help us to understand it more fully. And, Lord, may our lives be changed as a result. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So in Matthew chapter 7, now, this text contains and is primarily focused on the golden rule. Does anybody know what the golden rule is? Good. All right. That is in verse 12, the golden rule. Now, let's talk about the golden rule a little bit. As Jesus gives the golden rule to these folks. Now, there's a lot in this text. He talks about judgment. He says some things about interceding before God or coming to God for help, those kinds of things. But the whole text really boils down to verse 12, which is the golden rule. Now, let's talk about what the golden rule is, and I'm just going to flip through a few versions because I've heard a lot of versions of the golden rule, and they kind of go like this. Oh, it's not supposed to go like that. It's not supposed to have a line through it. But anyway, sometimes things change. Don't do unto others what you don't want done to you. Is that the golden rule? Is it? Somebody said it is. Somebody says backwards. Don't do unto others what you don't want done unto you. What's the problem with that one? It's negative. It's too many don'ts. That's a double negative. Which means it's positive. Wait a minute. Okay. All right. Don't do unto others what you don't want done to you. It's passive. Because you can choose and you can say, look, I'm not going to do bad things to other people because I don't want people doing bad things to me, right? The problem with this version of the golden rule is it's passive. It's only saying, look, I'm going to leave everybody else alone, and maybe if I leave everybody else alone, they'll leave me alone. That is not the golden rule. It's the wrong version. Next, do unto others before they do unto you. What do you think of that version? Yeah. In fact, I was taught this growing up, and I don't know if you guys were taught this, but that if you get in a fight, my dad was like, okay, here, I got to help you if you get in a fight. He said, here's what you do. He said, if you get in a fight and the guy's standing there, he said, you hit him first. That way, you're ready and you're at your best when you hit him versus if he hits you. Now you're like, ooh. You know, and now he's going to wear you out. So he always tell me, hit him first. Now, I am not coaching y'all to do that. Don't go home and tell your parents. Pastor Keith said, hit him first. No, it's not what I said, all right? But that was the advice I was given for getting in a fight. That's the problem. Kelsey got it. That's aggressive. Are we ever aggressive? In our relationships? Yeah. And we're motivated that by a lot of times something, we just don't like this person, or we got something against them, or whatever it is, and guys, I'm just going to tell you, we are known, and high schoolers and middle schoolers especially, are known for attacking people. Just tearing somebody down. Going after them. Have y'all ever experienced that? Anybody ever had this happen? Yeah, this is the bully. If you've ever had somebody bully you, this is what a bully does. If you've ever been a bully, listen, then this is what you were doing. This is not the golden rule. Next, do unto others because they do unto you. Yeah. If this is if someone does something to you, what do you have the right to do? To do it back to them. Yeah, to retaliate. Yeah, this version is vindictive. Vindictive means that you are executing vengeance upon this person or your revenge for what they've done to you. Do we ever do this? Yeah, in fact, I would venture to say, guys, listen, oftentimes the mode we operate in is here. If someone offends me, then I have the right to return fire in some way. That's what people think. That's what we tend to think. Is that true? Kelsey remembers what we studied just like 3 weeks ago. If someone hits you on the right cheek, what do? Now, does that mean you don't defend yourself or stop someone from hurting you? No, it doesn't mean that, okay? That's not what that verse means. What that verse describes is we are not to be retaliating. If someone wounds us, you know what we do? We forgive them. We don't retaliate. We don't go back after them and hurt them. So if you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. Those kinds of things. Guys, there's a lot of chatter. Stay focused, okay? The correct golden rule goes like this. Can't hardly read it, but I'll read it to you. Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. You see how it's positive? You proactively, that's our word, or intentionally, you treat other people the way you want them to treat you. Which means you make your decisions, your choices about how you're going to treat people based on the way you would like for them to treat you. Which means you treat your little brother the way you want him to treat you. You don't want to be treated harshly, do you? You don't want to be mocked, do you? You don't want to be teased or torn down or gossiped about. You don't want to be bullied. You don't want to be hurt. Guys, therefore don't hurt people. Treat other people the way you want to be treated yourself. Treat them the way you would like to be treated. That is the golden rule. This is the concept. And this kind of governs this entire text. How do you want to be treated? That is what should shape the way that you treat others. And the way we should treat others, the way we want to be treated, guys, is with kindness. You know what? We want people to treat us kindly. What I love about the rest of verse 12, let's look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. He says this. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Now, when he says this is the law of the prophets, he's saying the same thing that he says also in Matthew chapter 22, when he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your soul and with all your spirit. And the second greatest commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Same command as this. Treat others the way that you would have them to treat you is love your neighbor as yourself. And this, upon these two commandments, rest all of the law and the prophets. All of the Old Testament law is wrapped up in two commands. What are they? Love who? Love God and love your neighbor. One's vertical, one's horizontal. The vertical relationship between you and God, I'm going to love the Lord God with all my heart and with all my mind and with all my spirit. And then the second commandment comes out of that. I'm going to love him. I'm going to love my neighbors as myself. If I love them the way if I love them as if I love myself, then I'm going to treat them the way I want them to treat me in the same way. upon this is all the law and the prophets. Guys, the way we need to treat others is with love. With love. We have to choose to love them and demonstrate that love through our actions. Because love really is a matter of the will. It's a matter of the choice. Because the reality is, every person you meet out there, you're not going to like them, are you? Some people, you're just going to rub you the wrong way. Some people are just going to have a harder time liking them. And you have to choose to treat them with love regardless, which is what this text is teaching. You got to choose that. What's amazing is if you choose that, you will be skilled at relationship building for the rest of your life. If you can figure out, how is it that I can love people in spite of the way they treat me, then you will navigate your relationships well. Because love isn't based on how they treat us. Love is a choice of the will to treat them a certain way with kindness, with gentleness, all those things, in spite of the way they treat me. Okay, so that is the golden rule. Now, when Jesus teaches this, he doesn't start here. He ends with that principle, but he's been teaching since verse 1 about this concept. And he begins with the verse that goes like this: judge not that you be not judged. Judge not that you be not judged. Now, the larger principle of the text goes like this. Saw the last one. Okay, I hit it. All right, now, the larger principle goes like this. Genuine love is the secret to healthy relationships. But Jesus has been teaching this from the beginning of the chapter. He's been talking about what it is to judge and how it is that we deal with issues in our lives. Now, the judgment concept here is judgmentalism, and we're going to describe that a little bit more. But if you guys ever heard this before, this verse, judge not lest you be judged. You ever heard that? Where do we often hear that verse? In what context? Anybody know? It's when people want to get away with something that they ought not be doing. We hear this in all kinds of contexts. So you get people who want to go out and get drunk and party, and you're like, man, you ought not be getting drunk and partying. You know, that's destructive behavior. That's unwise. And they say, look, dude, don't judge me. Don't judge lest you be judged. So one of the most often quoted verses in the Bible. And it is one of the most often misunderstood verses in the Bible. That is not what this verse is teaching. This verse is speaking against judgmentalism, which means that I have a judgmental attitude towards a person, that I've already condemned them for their mistake and behavior or their bad choices or whatever it is, or maybe even not their bad choices, maybe just because I just don't really like that dude. And so I've got a critical spirit, a critical attitude, a judgmental attitude towards this person already. Now, we do a lot of criticizing in middle school and high school. Anybody know what criticizing is? What is it? Somebody give me a definition. You tear them down in some way. You tell them something in some way that's negative. Now, can criticism be good? Yes. How so? If it's... Okay, you can look critically at something and be constructive or helpful, even towards another person, right? You know, if my hair is all out of whack and it's like this right here or whatever, or if I didn't do anything, I just got out of bed with a bedhead this morning, I came to church, I need one of y'all to say, Pastor Keith, bro. I'm just that way, man. Anyway, you can be helpful to someone without being critical. Okay, I have to help a lot of guys out like this because they're walking in a room and there are flies open. You're not being critical, guys, if you help a brother out. It's better to help that brother out. Don't let him come in the room and hanging out, talking and all, and everybody's like, dude, you know, help a brother out. dude, but don't do it in front of everybody. Pull them over the side. Hey, bro, you know, whatever it is, do the thing, you know, right? Help him out discreetly. That's not being critical. That's being helpful. You can be constructive or helpful, but criticism oftentimes is hurtful. And I will venture to say, guys, and I want to tell you this, at the high school level, and the middle school level, but also in the rest of your life, it can be painful when people just have negative things to say about you. And they call you names or they mock the things about you. And we could have, I could have said to you guys, look, I want you to go to every person. I want you to meet somebody new, and I want you to learn two new things about them. And then I want you to say something degrading about them. And I guarantee not a person in here would have had any trouble doing that. You could have just done it at a drop of a hat. Find out two things about a person, you know, where do you go to school? And they're like, oh, I go to Snead. Oh, man, that school sucks. Really? Only losers go to that school. Have you ever heard people say that kind of thing? Yes. You see my point? All right, listen. Dude, where'd you get those shoes? Really? Did your grandpa pass away and he gave you those? You ever had that happen? All right, listen. Listen, guys. All right, guys. We mock each other all the time. And we think it's funny. And I always make a couple of jokes. It's okay to laugh at those. But we tend to mock each other and we think it's funny. And we in particular think it's funny when we're standing over here with our friends and we're mocking that person over there. And we have things to say about them that if they could hear it would be devastating. But it's okay if they can't hear us. Is it okay? Jesus said, treat others as you would have them treat yourself, treat you. Do you want to be that guy? The one over here sitting and this group of girls is over here mocking you. It's cool when you're in the group and you're mocking that dude. Or you're with this group and you're mocking her. But when you're the one receiving it, that's hard. Guys, we have no idea how painful our words are. James said that the tongue, speaking of the thing that mouths the words in our lives, is like a fire set on fire by hell, filled with deadly poison. And with it, we curse our brothers and we bless our God. He said, from the same fountain comes both good water and bad water. He said, brother, this ought not be. How can we be over here worshiping God? Oh, yeah. And then walk to the other side of the room or go to the bathroom and mock the person sitting in front of you. That ought not be. Jesus said that a man will give an account for every careless word that he uses. How careless are you with your tongue? How sloppy are you about just tearing somebody down? It hurts. And if you search your heart right now, you've been hurt by the things people have said about you. Can you count how many people have been hurt by the things you said about them? Jesus speaks to these folks in the context for the golden rule is criticism and tearing down people. He says, judge not, lest you be judged, for the judgment you pronounce will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So what he says is, in the same way that you, the judgment that you use towards other people, you know what they're going to do in return to you? They're going to judge you the same way. And the measure that you measure out in terms of the standards you set for other people, where you evaluate and you judge them based on their ability to do something, if it's baseball or how good looking they are or how not good looking they are or whatever else it is, he says the standard that you measure out to them will be the standard by which you will be measured against as well. Because, you know, and his point isn't necessarily, he's not making a statement about how God is going to judge us. What he's saying is there's going to come a day when you're going to be in that spot. And instead of you being the guy that's on top and you're the one everybody's impressed with and you being a part of the group that's mocking someone else, you're going to be the guy over here by yourself and that group's going to be mocking you. So you got to love others the way you want them to love you. Now, I kind of developed just a few things to help us navigate as we go through this text, just a few principles, and I want to encourage you guys to write them down. They're pretty short, under point number one, to just help us think through how do we navigate this as we live out our lives. As you guys go to school tomorrow and you interact with people and as you graduate and you go off to college or wherever else, how is it that you navigate relationships? A few principles. The first one, leave the condemnation to God. Leave the condemnation to God, which means don't condemn people. Who is the person that is our judge? God, right? Now, you got to be careful with this because people like this verse. They say, well, it says, judge not lest you be judged. Therefore, God's the only one supposed to be judged. No, that is false. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we are given the responsibility as a church to judge. As believers, as Christians, to judge. But you know what we judge? Right from wrong. And when we see a brother doing wrong or a sister falling in sin, we judge that this is wrong. And what do we go to? What do we do with this brother or sister? We go to them and confront. We do it in a spirit of gentleness, in a spirit of love, not being judgmental. But when you have somebody, another Christian, come to you and say, you know what, I'm concerned about you because it looks like you're falling into sin here. Take that seriously because they have been mandated by God to judge right from wrong. That is the role of the church, us as a church. That's a big deal. So, leave the condemnation to God. Stop tearing down people, guys. Just stop. If there's any place in this world that should be safe, it should be this room. We are the church. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard people tearing other people down in here. Ephesians 4 says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, except that which is useful, that it might give grace to those who hear. It ought to be we come in this door, and we see this brother, and we're like, hey, man, you are awesome. It is so good to see you tonight. Not, dude, where'd you get that jacked up hat? That's what we do. We need to bring to this room an amazing safety. This room ought to be safe. Kids who get mocked all day long, who get bullied at school all day long, ought to come here because it's the one place I can come here and they love me. But you know what? Some of those kids don't come back here because they get the same thing here they got there. We are not the world. This is a safe place. We are the church. And we all have been given the grace of God. And we have the grace of God to offer in love to people. How beautiful is that? People that need to know. Teenagers that need to know, you know what? It's okay that I'm not as tall as the other people at my school. Or it's okay that I'm not as skinny as the other girls in my school. Or it's okay that I have this color hair or this color eyes or whatever it is. They need to know that you love them. Dylan, Harrison, sit up, look at me, please. They need to hear our love. They need to hear where we're at. Guys, so leave the condemnation to God. Second, look at yourself first. Look at the rest of the verse. He says, why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye? The speck is a speck of dust. Why do you see the speck of dust that's in your brother's eye, but you don't see the log, the plank, the board that's in your eye? We will look at someone and tear them down. All the while, we got the same kind of issues. And that's the point. We're going to focus on them. Why? Because focusing on them makes us look better. Guys, don't do that. Look at yourself first. What's wrong in my life? What do I need help with? And it's amazing how as you look at your own weaknesses, that you suddenly, when you look at other people, you have grace for their weaknesses. Because you know what? You're not all that. You're not. I love you, and I want you to know that you're going to be amazing, and you're amazing right now. But we're all amazing. Because we're all made in the image of God. All of us. Okay, look at yourself first. Next. And I'm out of hands. I don't have enough hands. Next, confront gently. Look what he says. He says, or how do you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye? When there's a log in your own eye. You hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Now, what's cool about this and what most people never recognize is he doesn't say, only say, judge not, lest you be judged. He says, look, don't come to this dude and point out the issues in his life. Instead, deal with the issues in your life, which in your case, our case, and in the Scripture's case, would be sin in our lives. He says, deal with the sin in your lives so that you are spiritually minded. You're clear. Look, I'm living for God. I understand what God's expectations are in my life. And then when we do that, then we can come to a brother or sister in the Lord and help them with the sin and the struggles in their lives. What a great picture. Deal with the things in our lives so we're spiritual, so we're clear-headed. We understand what it is to know and walk before God, and then we can go and help them. So that means we judge right from wrong. We have to confront, but do it gently. Do it gently. Be kind. God has never called us to be policing all the people around us just so we can tear them out and point out their faults. Because you have faults too. And since you have faults too, you ought to go humbly. Who am I to be saying this? But I'm going to say it because I love you and I care about you. You got to struggle here, and this is a weak area. You need help in this area. You're falling into sin in this area. You've tripped up here, and I want, as a brother or sister in the Lord, because I love you, to help you with this. Guys, some of you need to do this because you have friends in this room who are making bad choices spiritually. And you know what? A spiritually bad choice is a destructive choice. And they will reap the benefits of that negatively. They will reap the pain of that. And then one day you'll be sitting with them when they're weeping over their bad choices. And what will you say? I knew it, but I didn't say anything. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. You go to a brother or sister in the Lord and you say, whoa, whoa, whoa. You're not making good choices here. And I love you and I care about you. So I want to tell you. All right, so the last one, not everyone will respond well. Not everyone will return your love. Look at verse 6. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs. Why? Lest they trample them underfoot and turn and attack you. That's a strange verse. But the point is, we don't cast our pearls before swine. There will be some people that you will go to share truth with them, to try to help them in some way, and they will resent it. And they won't be interested in you trying to work out this relationship with them. They won't be interested. So you got to understand that. There's going to be times you don't nag them, you don't push them, you back off. And that's what's going to happen. So not everyone will respond well. Now, I love this text because it challenges us to think clearly about what it means to love. What does it mean to really love? And the greatest example of that is God in our lives. Look what he says as we go on to verse 7. He says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks him for a fish, will give him a serpent?" It would be something if you ask your parents for a fish. Not, how many of y'all eat fish? Yeah, okay, good. That's pretty good. If you ask your parents for a fish and they gave you a snake, wouldn't go over well. All right? He says, which one of you are like that? All right, listen. That's not what we do. He says, instead, if you then who are evil, everybody catch that? If you then who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? How much more will he give good gifts to those who ask him? Now, he calls us evil in the sense that we're sinners. We're fallen. He says, if we know how to give good gifts, how much more does God know how to give good gifts? And the point here is if we know how to love, at least in many occasions, how much more does God know how to love? We treat God poorly. And yet he gives to us. We got seniors graduating right now to go off to college. The favor of God in their lives. Most of the world can't do that. You guys are going to school tomorrow and you're getting an education. Much of the world can't do that. You guys are going out here, at least when your parents pick you up, or if you're driving, you're getting into a nice automobile, going to a nice house. Most of the world can't say that. We experience the favor of God in our lives every day. And the biggest way we experience is through the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness we have in him. If God has forgiven us, how can we not forgive others? If God has shown us love, how can we not love others? How can we take from the hand of God the great gifts that he gives us and then go and tear down the very people that God has made that he's blessing and showing his love to? How do we do that? And his point is that doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. God loves. We learn to love from God. We learn his principles from God. We learn what it is to honor and bless people from God. Guys, listen to this. If you're tempted tomorrow, in fact, in 15 minutes when we're done, if you're tempted to tear somebody down or criticize someone, I want you to stop and think about the love of God in your life and the forgiveness you have through him. And then choose differently. Because it's his love that causes us to be transformed in that way and to treat each other differently. Now, this week as you go out, and we're going to be closed, we're going to go into our group time. This week as you go out, I want you to evaluate your relationships. Now, I want you to start where? At home. Because where do you spend most of your time? At home. I want you to think about how you treat your siblings. Are you showing them love? Do you have pet names that you name your siblings? Some of y'all do. That tear them down and mock them. I'll tell you a story, and we're going to close with this. When I was in college, we had a guy that was a roommate of ours, And our roommate, my roommates made up a nickname for him. That was an abbreviation. It was an acronym. An acronym is an abbreviation for a set of words using the first letter of each word. And we made up a name, not we, they, made up a name for him that was a terrible name. But it formed an acronym that sounded nice. Well, for the next year, we called him that name. And after we all broke up as roommates, and all this was sourced out of the fact that the guy was just a little bit strange, he just wasn't that easy to get along with. And after we finished that year and we moved out into separate roommates and we moved different places, one of his friends told him what the name meant. A year. He thought the name was cool. He thought it was a term of endearment. The guy quit. He dropped out of school. He left Clemson. It was done. I've never seen him again. But I live under the weight of that. Evaluate the things you do this week. The way you treat your siblings, the way you treat people at school, the way you treat your parents, the way you treat your friends, the way you treat your enemies, and especially, guys, the way you treat the people in this room. We love here first, and we need to love well here first. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for this time in your word. I ask, Lord, as we break up into our groups, that you would bless our time and give us great insight.